The death of the dollar is either the biggest financial story of our lifetime or the biggest exaggeration. Today, I'm going to show you what I found when digging through the actual data, and the answer, it's going to surprise you. So let's go. All right, we are talking about the death of the United States dollar. And of course, if you're on YouTube or Twitter or X or whatever, there's no shortage of conversations about this. It's mostly, of course, by the gold bugs, right? The doomers. And the question is it imminent? Is it something that is going to happen at any moment we have to be prepared for? Or is it greatly exaggerated? Or is there some truth in the middle? And ultimately, what should we watch? And more importantly, what should we do? Okay, so the US dollar obviously gets its strength from having the US dollar, the world reserve currency status of it. And so number one, the United States still leads the world in innovation. Number two, of course, the US has the world's largest military. And of course, number three, what it really has is network effects. Network effects are very hard to break. Now, the world's been trying to break them for a long time. As a matter of fact, we know that China and Russia have been actively de-dollarizing since about 2013. So they've been trying to get off the dollar, trying to kick the drug habit for a long time. De-dollarization is 95% of the trade between China and Russia didn't use the US dollar. So between them, they're trying to figure out what they can do off of the dollar, but they've been trying to do this for well over a decade and they still haven't figured that out. We know that the BRICS nations, you hear about it all the time. Some of my friends in the industry, in the gold space, are constantly telling you that the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and all the other states that have joined, they're gonna start their own currency. It's gonna be a gold-backed currency. It's gonna be something like that. You see it all over YouTube, the news, etc. How would a new BRICS currency affect the US dollar? As a matter of fact, Donald Trump, when he was coming back in for his second term, he saw news, he saw chatter about the BRICS doing their own currency, and he said, hey, if you launch your own currency, then 100% tariffs against you. Right? So he didn't like that. So we have lots and lots of talks about that. We also have talks of the BIS, the Central Bank of Central Banks, the Bank of International Settlements, and China working on a CBDC type of project. It's called Project Enbridge. If you're a regular viewer of the channel, you know I've been talking about this for a while. Project Enbridge, revolutionizing cross-border payments with multi-CBDC technology. So multiple countries have their own CBDC and they do trade. That's also death of the dollar, right? We know that also a point that the gold bugs make all the time is that central banks are buying record amounts of gold. So we can see in the chart right here that we can go back all the way here to 2014 right here. And you can see that the amount of gold buying has gone up. And so for the last several years, a lot of gold buying has been happening. So they're buying more gold, and it's no wonder. China and Russia has been trying to get off the dollar for a long time. We know that when Russia and Ukraine, when that situation erupted, we know that the United States and NATO basically moved to unilaterally seize Russia's bank accounts. Now, to put that into some understanding, Russia is one of three superpowers in the world with nuclear weapons. If they have their bank account seized, what hope does any other nation in the world have? And of course they don't, which is why all of the world is trying to figure out what's next, which is why everyone's warning you of the death of the dollar. Most of them are gold people trying to sell you gold. So what is really going on, and is this something imminent or exaggerated? Well, to understand this, we have to look at a couple of things. So number one, we have to understand that currencies exchange, foreign currencies, FX exchange, and how they adjust. And we're going to look through three periods in time so you can understand this. But first of all, liquidity imbalances adjust. So depending on how much money, credit available you have liquid, it adjusts the real exchange rates. So what the exchange rates are between the two different currencies. The exchange rates are driven by productivity and capital. So as some countries become more productive, create more than they consume, right? And then they acquire more capital, then it starts to change the exchange rates. And this causes rises and falls in asset prices. Supply and demand. Let's just break all this down. 101, supply and demand is basically what this is saying. So if I have more supply, if I've created more supply because I'm more efficient, I have better capital, I have more supply, prices rise and fall based off of that. And the central banks determine the strength of each of these through the channels that they have. So for example, we tighten, right? Tighten monetary policy. We loosen monetary policy. We mainly do that by raising or lowering rates. If we make money cheaper, more people use it. If we make money expensive, less people use it, right? So those are the channels that they have. So now that you understand that, we can dig in a little bit to the next level. Let's look through the three distinct phases of history so you can start to understand how this works. So first of all, I don't have this phase. We'll go back to 1944. This is the Bretton Woods Agreement. The world, pretty much the entire world, got together and agreed that the United States dollar would be the reserve currency of the world. It would be backed by gold. $35 would equal 1 ounce of gold. And the currencies of the world would peg to the U.S. dollar. That was the Bretton Woods Agreement. It was still a semi-quasi gold-backed system because the dollar was backed by gold. Currencies were backed by the dollar. We're going to jump ahead to 1971. And the reason why this is a post-Bretton Woods Agreement, this is now fiat. So we're off of the gold standard. 1971, Richard Nixon, thank you very much, removed the United States, I say that sarcastically, removed the United States off of the gold system, the gold standard, and now we have just free-floating fiat currencies. And this period is from 1971 to 1990. So post-Bretton Woods, we've ended that system. Now, when Nixon did that, ripped the dollar off the gold system, all the other currencies of the world got taken off the gold system, right? So everything's free-floating. We saw Japan and Germany's rise after World War II, right? So they had been rising post-Bretton Woods. We also saw the rise of OPEC, so the oil-producing nations in the Middle East. So we started to see that the trade imbalances, the liquidity, the capital accounts were starting to change around the world. We started to get massive inflation, right? That's what happens when you come off of a sound monetary standard. You go to a debt monetary standard. So we had massive inflation into the 70s and into the 80s. President Ronald Reagan and his Fed chair, Paul Volcker, we tell stories about them all the time because massive inflation, and Paul Volcker, Fed chair at the time, raised interest rates at the record rate that we've never seen again since. He did that in order to slow things down, to tamper inflation, and what it did is it strengthened the U.S. dollar, made the dollar stronger. When it made the dollar stronger, because they raised rates, right, they tightened the money supply, it basically ended up contributing to the end of the USSR, the Soviet Union, collapsed because of that. So when you tighten your monetary supply, it puts the screws to other nations. This is the battle. This is the currency wars that we're in. You'll notice as we get to phase two and phase three. Okay, so now post-1990, we're into phase two, 1998 to 2009. 1998 was a very pivotal year, 1999 and 2000, right around the dot-com boom. So we had two things, the productivity gains of the dot-com boom, but it's also when China was admitted into the WTO, that's the World Trade Organization. So it took them from a bunch of rice farmers to now making most of the world's factories, right? They make most of the world's goods through their factories. And so China was entered into the WTO, and that started to offset Japan's decline. So all of that money started going over into Asia, right? Offshoring, America started offshoring all of its manufacturing. Global private debt started to rise from 117% to 138% of global GDP. It's a massive increase. That's a percentage. The amount of debt to the amount of production. So debt was rising faster than production. And low policy rates, keeping interest rates low, fueled this debt expansion. Because remember, when debt is cheap, people use more of it. When debt is expensive, people use less of it. And so that was phase two. We saw that happening. And then we went into phase three, which is from 2009 to 2025, which brings us to current time. Now, you probably remember that we've had two major disasters in that time period. We saw public debt and monetary inflation from this entire period. We had first the great financial crash, 2008, not just in America, the great financial crash, the global financial crash. And so all the central banks of the world had to just basically print unlimited amounts of quantitative easing, print money, if you will, give it to the banks. And then we had COVID, 2020, right? And again, we had to print trillions and trillions, tens of trillions of dollars and pump it into the system, pumping up the debt. World public debt exploded during those two phases, went from 60% to 104% of GDP, almost doubling. The amount of debt was growing faster than the productivity of the world by almost double the rate during that period. Now, because of that, the U.S. disrupted the 2016 Shanghai Accords. What was happening is the dollar was getting weaker, 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 and Asian currencies were getting stronger, 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 and it was starting to mess up the equilibrium of the world, and they had to intervene. There was what's called the Shanghai Accord. You might recognize that because we've been talking about the Mar-a-Lago Accords, which is where Trump again took office in his second term, and we've been walking through that. And that the Mar-a-Lago Accords are sort of modeled off of the Shanghai Accord from 2016, when the whole world, or maybe the top five countries, agreed to strengthen the dollar and weaken the Asian currencies, weaken the yen. What this did, though, is it forced China to also follow suit, and they had to weaken their currency. So these are currency wars. So the dollar was getting weaker, weaker, weaker. They were getting stronger, stronger, stronger. But as their currencies were getting stronger, it made it harder for the imports and exports to work, which is why the agreement was for the dollar to weaken, or the dollar to get stronger and those to weaken. All right, so now that you start to understand how that works, let's look at this. Now, the U.S. dollar has real trade. Now, what we can see, let me pull up this chart here real quick, is we can see how this has been working. Now, over this time period, from 1965, you can see the dollar's trade balance trending down. It was getting weaker, weaker, weaker. Now, it had a couple good pumps here, and right here, around 2016, around the Plaza Court, you can see the trend line of how it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And so this reflects the underlying productivity changes between the countries. This is it adds the capital inflows and the outflows. So you start to see the differences as the manufacturing started to move over to Asia. And the real dollar basket was trending lower, as I just showed you, over that period. Like I said, it was rebounding during that period. But now you can see how it's starting to go up and the trend line is going up. But China doesn't like this. China has big ambitions. China wants to be the global superpower of the world. They want their currency to be a reserve currency. They have big ambitions. As a matter of fact, I have this quote right here from Major Lang, 2015. He says right here, China aims to make the yuan, their own currency, China aims to make the yuan Asia's primary currency. We want to be the top dog. Forget America and their benefit of having the U.S. dollar. We want to have that. We want to be the primary Asian currency, countering the U.S. dominance. This is their proclamation, 2015. We should promote the renminbi to be the primary currency of Asia. Let me cycle that. Primary currency, that's what we want to be. Every globalization was initiated by a rising empire. So what they're saying is the global reserve currency has changed throughout time. The U.S. dollar hasn't always been that. Before it, it was the pound, right? We've seen it go from Portugal to Spain to France to England to the United States. And what's next? And what China's saying is that globalization was initiated by the rising power. So whoever was the biggest, the baddest, the most powerful, the most productive, typically had the reserve currency. And so what he's saying is that, well, we are now the rising power. We are now the most productive, so we should have the reserve currency of the world. And he's saying because of what they're doing with the One Belt, One Road initiative, which is basically trying to connect the whole world to do global trade. And he says, again, it is a countermeasure to the U.S. It's a currency war, right? It's a currency war, countermeasure to the U.S. Now, this is what they want. The problem is that they want to make Asia's main currency through their strategy, but the problem is that whenever they try to make it stronger by tightening the policy, they get a bump, but then it starts coming down again. They tighten it, and they bump it again. And so the global war isn't working out so well for them, and the reason why is back to the U.S. dollar. And it's because of America's counter. So as much as China wants to become the next currency, as much as they try to manipulate their own currencies to do that, America has the counter. Not only, again, as I started in the beginning, because of the innovation, because of the military, but because of the network effects. The world uses the dollar, and so the world has agreed to allow the U.S. to continue to have that. Again, back to the 2016 Shanghai Accord when they all agreed to allow this to happen by strengthening the dollar and weakening the Asian currencies, weakening the yen. That forced the Asian currencies at the time to drop between 12 to 15% of their value post-2022. And when that happened, China couldn't sustain the liquidity squeeze. Let's look at a chart of this. So what we can see here is this is the Asian euro, and you can see here the drop. This is the Shanghai Accord in this period right here. And then you can see another drop, and now it's stabilizing in potentially Shanghai Accord part two, We'll see. The future's yet to be seen. But this is similar to what happened to the Soviet Union. When the U.S. tightened up, the other countries couldn't maintain the liquidity squeeze. So, back to the dollar. Is the dollar's death imminent? Is it happening tomorrow or at the end of this year or the next 2 to 3 years? Is it imminent like all the gold people on TV want to tell you so you buy gold? Well, no, it's not happening. The dollar is not losing status. As a matter of fact, we have lots of evidence. Evidence is that the USD is not losing its safe haven status. We can see that net inflows into the US dollars are at current record highs. Let's take a look at this chart right here. Inflows into the dollar, net inflows into the US dollar, and we can see here all the way back it was down. We hit a high here in 2015, kind of came back down after the Plaza Accord, and now look at how high net inflows are into the dollar right now. Money is rushing in. It's not rushing out as all the doomers would like to have you say. Another way we can look at that is what's called a convenience yield on treasuries. And so again, we can see that as many people want to tell you that everyone's selling US treasuries, the data shows us the difference. The convenience yield is the difference, the yield, the spread between treasuries versus corporate bonds. And we can see this is at pretty much all-time highs. So the data tells us something different than the doomers want us to believe. And we can see this through the data right here. It's increasing, not decreasing. Capital flows is still flowing to the US. It's still the best place for money. The US retains its premium ratings globally. Now, what does all this mean? Because Mark, I've seen you make videos on YouTube talking about the dollar dying and the dollar losing power and all these things. So what are you telling me here? Well, I'm gonna answer that. But first, let's just go back to China for a second. Because China doesn't like this. But unfortunately for China, they're in a much worse situation. Back to when the United States tightened the belt under Volcker and Reagan and put the screws to the Soviet Union, again, this is what we're seeing happening to China right now. And what we can see is that China is right now absolutely exploding their liquidity. They're blowing up. This is what's happening. We can see this in the chart. We can see they've added the RMB 10 trillion. They've added 10 trillion in just the last 6 months alone. The yuan to gold price, the exchange rate there, is catapulting higher. And we can see that this is driving commodity prices higher. Let's just take a look at this chart here. So here we have the 28-day rolling liquidity injections. So this is the central bank injecting liquidity into the system, right? And look at this absolute explosion of liquidity they have to inject. Now, we look at global liquidity. You know, if you watch this channel on a regular basis, I talk about it's not just what the Fed is doing. We want to look at the global liquidity. And while the Fed has been sort of like hemming and hawing, obviously that's why Trump and Powell are fighting right now. The ECB is still sort of on the fence. A lot of countries, like China, are in massive easing right now, massively injecting liquidity into the system. And of course, this drives global assets like gold, like copper, and like Bitcoin, all right? That's why we've been seeing those assets pump, because global liquidity is going up. So what is all this telling us? Is the dollar dying? Tell me the answer, Mark. Well, yes and no. It's dying and it's not dying. What do I mean by that? Against other fiat currencies, no, it's not dying. The dollar looks like it is not going anywhere anytime soon. However, we call it the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry. It doesn't mean it's good. It just means that all the other currencies are much worse, and they're all going to eventually die before the dollar. However, at the same time, it is dying, yes, against real assets. Yes, so it is continuing to lose value when you price it against real things. The dollar is going to outlast other currencies, but other currencies are losing to hard assets. So here's an example. You can see an illustration of what the dollar has done when compared to hard assets, and it's lost about 90% of its purchasing power when compared to gold or the S&P 500 and, of course, to Bitcoin, other assets. So the answer is yes and no. It's not going to be losing to other currencies. You don't need to worry about rushing out and getting all the money out of the bank because it's going to die tomorrow, like a lot of people on YouTube would have you believe. You don't have to go put your life savings into Bitcoin. However, at the same time, the dollar shouldn't be used to save because it's going to continue to lose value. It's going to continue to have a decreasing purchasing power. And so you need to buy hard assets like Bitcoin or like gold or other assets to protect your value. Now, if you want to see how far this is going to go down based off of what the Trump administration is doing with the US dollar and the Genius Act, you probably want to watch this video right here, and I'll see you over there.